Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm excited to share with you today some of the results from my master's thesis research on soil fertility microdosing, soil microdosing in the Sahel. So currently in the Sahel, there's a great need for sustainable intensification of agriculture. In this region is the highest population of food insecure people globally, with 26.8% of the population being undernourished. Cereal yields and grain production is very, very low in this region, with average cereal yields only being 26.3% of the global average in the countries of interest to my research, which are Burkina Faso, Benin, and Niger. So one of the issues with food security in these regions is that population is increasing at 3.1% per year, whereas crop production is only increasing at 1% per year. So this creates a problem when you're trying to produce enough food to feed the population. Crop production is stagnant partially due to an unstable climate, as well as low inherent soil fertility because of the highly weathered nature of the soils in this region. There's also very low input use. Farmers have very little access to fertilizer, so they're applying very, very low rates or no fertilizer at all. And there's also competition for organic inputs. Farmers have other uses for crop residues and manure, such as they use manure and crop residue for fuel for cooking. They also use crop residue for feed for animals or building materials. So there's very little left over to actually put back into building up soil fertility. So because of the intense population pressure, farmers are being forced to shorten their fallow periods or to crop on more and more marginal lands. So these practices are actually increasing land degradation and decreasing soil fertility. So it's really important for continued food security for farmers to actually increase soil fertility and crop production simultaneously. The problem is that farmers are not able to apply recommended broadcast rates of fertilizer. They do not have access to capital to be able to purchase fertilizer. And if something were to go wrong in a season, in a cropping season, they could lose their entire livelihood because they are not able to absorb risk. So farmers need to take a step-by-step approach to intensification, where they make a small investment and receive a small return and continue to invest this way. So fertilizer microdosing, which as you can see in this picture here, farmers just take a pinch of fertilizer or a bottle cap of fertilizer, and they apply it right next to the seed or the seedling. As you can see in this picture, they apply it right next to the seedling within 10 days after sowing. So across the Sahel, farmers are seeing an increase in yield and fertilizer use efficiency. The research thus far on microdosing has focused on the yield response of this technique and optimizing the timing and placement. It has been mentioned in the literature the possibility that fertilizer microdosing is causing soil nutrient mining or reducing soil fertility. However, there's been no published studies thus far. There's been no long-term research, no research longer than 5 years, and very few studies that actually measure how microdosing is affecting the soil properties. So the objective of my research is to determine the sustainability of fertilizer microdosing through analyzing yield trends, soil chemical properties, and carbon speciation. And I will do this through studying a long-term research trial in Sidore, Niger. So this trial was established in 1994 by the Tropical Soil Biology and Fertility Program, and it is managed by ICRISAT, the International Crop Research Institute for the Semi-Arid Tropics. So I feel very privileged to get to do research at this site. It's been very well controlled. There's 15 years of yield data, two cropping systems, continuous millet and the millet-cowpea intercrop, and I'll just be sharing on the continuous millet today. And there is a 3x3x3 factorial treatment design with fertilizer, manure, and crop residue at three intensities. Today I'll just share on how fertilizer is affecting soil properties and yield, and the medium rate of fertilizer, that is considered a microdose rate of fertilizer, about half of the recommended rate. Along with looking at the fertilizer-treated soil that is also cultivated, I'll be comparing this to uncropped, uncultivated soil from adjacent land that's right next to the site, that is in native grassland. To give you some more context, this is the country of Niger, and the Sidore site is in the southwest corner in the Sahel region. It's under a rainosolic soil, which is in the World Resource-based soil system, a very sandy soil with low water and retention, a low water and nutrient retention capacity. So to show some of my results, here are some the yield graph. It's the grain yield over the years of the trial, and the recommended is in the with the solid line, and this is the highest yielding treatment over the course of the trial. And you can see with the plotted trend lines that there is a decreased yield with across the whole trial. All of the treatments are leading to yield decline, but the yield decline with the recommended rate appears to be higher than with the microdose rate. The yield response is higher at the beginning of the trial, but decreases over time. So these results indicate that microdosing may be able to sustain yield better than the recommended rate of fertilizer. In looking at the effect of fertilizer rate on soil properties, we see, as was mentioned in previous presentations, that an increase in fertilizer rate, and likely due to the increase in nitrogen fertilizer, there is a decrease in pH. So this may have an impact on the increased yield decline seen with a higher rate of nitrogen fertilizer. In looking at organic carbon, there is no accumulation, real pattern to carbon accumulation at this site. In the literature, you see generally with an increase in fertilizer, there's an increase in biomass production translating to an increase in organic carbon. However, in this system, you can see the organic carbon is incredibly low. It truly is 0.2%, and there is no accumulation of organic carbon. And looking at total phosphorus, there's no significant difference between the microdose and recommended rate of fertilizer in total phosphorus. So this indicates that microdosing is not drawing on the total phosphorus stores in the soil. In looking at available phosphorus and total nitrogen, there's no significant difference between the control and microdose, which may indicate the mining of phosphorus and nitrogen, but it may also indicate that microdose is efficiently using phosphorus and nitrogen, but there's not enough for it to accumulate in these soils. In comparing the cultivated cropped and uncropped uncultivated soil, you see that there's no difference in organic carbon between the soils. And you see that there is the uncultivated uncropped soil is lower in total phosphorus, in total phosphorus and available phosphorus compared to the uncultivated soil. In looking at total nitrogen, however, you see a different trend where the uncultivated uncropped soil is the highest in total nitrogen. So this is interesting because this may be occurring because the soil that's not being cultivated there's no nitrogen being mineralized. And this is interesting to look at how it may affect the C-to-N ratio of that soil compared to the cropped cultivated soils and how this may affect the cycling of carbon in the system. So carbon, as we know, is very important for soil fertility. It's important for stimulating microbial activity. So if we can look at not just the amount of carbon in the soil, but actually the specific carbon functional groups that are in the soil, we will have a better picture of how carbon is being cycled in the soil. The different carbon functional groups are present in the soil at different stages of microbial decomposition. So in my study, I look at the different species of carbon in the soil to determine more about the nutrient dynamics. And I do this using the X-ray absorption near-edge structure spectroscopy technique, or ZANES, at the Canadian Light Source in my hometown of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. So you can think of the ZANES technique as using synchrotron light, which is very, very powerful light, to measure the fingerprint of carbon functional groups in the soil and comparing this fingerprint to different to other soils to see how they compare. So this is my fingerprint of carbon, or my carbon zanes that I've measured. And as you can see, there's five different peaks representing five different functional groups. And in comparing the relative abundance of these peaks to other soils, you can see how different the soils are. So in comparing recommended microdose and control, you can see that there is no difference in the relative abundance of any of the functional groups with any of the treatments. So this indicates that microdosing is not changing the carbon speciation in comparison to the other fertilizer treatments. It is interesting to look at the difference between the uncropped, uncultivated soil and the cropped and cultivated soil. So you can see the largest difference here is in the ketones group. So the uncropped and uncultivated soil has a higher abundance of ketones. Ketones are microbially derived carbon groups, and they are present in soil that has a higher microbial turnover. So when we looked at the soil properties, we saw that this soil had a high amount of nitrogen. So this would mean that this soil would have a lower C-to-N ratio. So in this soil, the carbon that's being put in, there's enough nitrogen that the carbon can be broken down all the way to ketones. So this would have positive implications in this soil for microbial activity and humus formation, but it means that in the cropped soils that actually are growing the crops, they do not have the same rate of carbon cycling. So to conclude, when looking at microdosing at this Sodore site, I would say that microdosing is no less sustainable than the recommended rate of fertilizer. It has a less negative yield trend than the recommended dose, an efficient use of phosphorus and nitrogen. There's no greater depletion of organic carbon at this site, and as well, there's no difference in any of the sites in their carbon speciation. But it is interesting to think about this system as a whole and whether it is sustainable. There's an overall yield decline, there's very little organic carbon buildup, and the greatest difference in speciation is actually due to cultivation. So perhaps seeing that microdosing is no less sustainable than the other techniques, we may want to look at actually improving the soil organic carbon to increase soil fertility. Thank you very much for your attention. I'd like to thank my supervisors, my funding organizations, and my entire lab group. Thank you very much. I'd entertain any questions.
Yes.
Given the lack of residue within manure and all that, what might be the best way, with your experience of building up that organic carbon in the soil?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Because in our study we have access to those, but the farmers don't have access. I'd say that I see in the literature that the pairing of fertilizer and organic carbon, organic residues, when you do both of those things, that you can use less of both. So if farmers have access to a little bit of fertilizer and a little bit of residue, that may will be able to stimulate. That might be better for soil fertility. I think that's maybe the only option as of now. If farmers are able to produce more, they'll have more residues available. And also adopting other practices, using different kinds of stoves that don't need to use crop residues, things like that, I think would be really helpful for farmers to be able to take those residues and put them back into the soil.
You applied much amount of manure and residues, right? So why the soil organic matter still very increased?
So the question was with the So the question was with the inputs of manure and crop residue, why is organic carbon not increasing? And in the soil properties that I showed, those were with the lowest rate of crop residue and manure. The difference in fertilizer rate was the lowest rate. But actually, even with the higher rates, we only see there's no really significant change in organic carbon. And I think when you look at the carbon speciation results, you see that the biggest difference is due to tillage. So there may be the chance, I would say that the tillage is actually causing the mineralization of carbon, and that adopting reduced tillage practices might conserve carbon better. There's a study that I read that just because of the continuous high temperatures, the degradation rates are very high, and that in this study, which was in West Africa as well, they needed to apply up to 9 tons per hectare of organic residue to be able to start accumulating carbon. And these rates are less than 5 tons per hectare. So I think it's just not enough carbon, and the tillage is causing mineralization as well.
Yes?
Just for curiosity, is there any parallel work that was done looking at, you mentioned that input giving is an issue, so I think that labor is not an issue. So is there anything that was done to look at how much work is required? And if farmers were to adopt microdosing, how big would the land in one farmer or a house or a car and do moisture?
Okay, so the first question was about the labor intensity of microdosing. And then, sorry, could you repeat the second question? Before the moisture is gone? Okay, so the second question was how much land would the farmer be able to cover before the moisture would be gone?
Yeah.
Okay. So as far as the labor intensity, it depends on what the practices are in the country already. In the project that I'm a part of is in Benin, farmers already do precise placement of their fertilizer. So in this case, farmers would just be applying less fertilizer, so it doesn't change the labor intensity at all. In Burkina Faso, farmers broadcast their fertilizer, so it does increase their labor. But I think that they do precise placement, or they do seeding by hand. So farmers can apply the seed and the fertilizer together. So in that case, it wouldn't increase the labor. But I think that they're, it's depending on the practices, it does increase the labor for farmers.
All right, mm-hmm. I think our time is up. Thank you very much.